You are listening to the audio version of the Bitcoin.com weekly news show with Roger Ver. For the full experience, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It is May 31st, Friday again here in Japan. I'm Corbin Fraser. I'm back again here with my associate, Gabriel
Cardona. What's up?
And we've got a special guest here. Actually, I'll let you introduce him since he reports to you.
Yes, and this is the block star Roscoe Callis, one of our most recent additions to our team. We met Roscoe last November, I believe, in Amsterdam. His team won the hackathon with the Panda Cash team, which was an amazing addition. And we brought him onto our team, and he's been the lead brain behind CashScript that everybody's been hearing so much about, which we'll talk about here in a minute.
Yeah, so Roger can't be with us again this this particular show, but we're hoping maybe we can get him back on the next one shortly. So we'll quickly run through some of the show notes here, what you're going to see on this current video. We've got upcoming local.bitcoin.com, which welcomes 5,000 new users pre-launch. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, huge.
Got Bitcoin Cash Register, which is now available on iOS. Of course, CashScript, which is bringing smart contracts to Bitcoin Cash.
Boom.
This guy. We got BCH Dev Community Funding Campaign, which is great. We're trying to fundraise a bunch of BCH to help support Bitcoin Cash protocol development. Electron Cash SLP wallet upgrades. And, of course, Crypto.com adds Bitcoin Cash support to their crypto credit card, which is pretty exciting.
That's cool.
So I guess I'll maybe start off with the first one here. We've got local.bitcoin.com. Welcoming thousands of pre-launch users. So far, we've got over 5,000 new users since we opened up the account platform. I think it was about 2 weeks ago now.
Wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, so it's 2 weeks for 5,000. It's a good start. We've got, I think there's over 2,000 active offers that have been created. So there's a lot of people waiting to buy. There's a lot of people waiting to sell. And users have already started creating their account referrals. You may have seen some of those in some Telegram chats and on Twitter.
Absolutely.
It's pretty exciting. I think there's a lot of people coming up with some clever names. I noticed Hayden Otto had cleverly registered Bitcoin Cash as a username. And I think he's been pushing that one quite well because it looks very official, too, on the local.bitcoin.com/r/Bitcoin Cash. So,
I would buy that.
Yeah, I would probably follow that one. So it's pretty cool. You can earn 20% off of the fees for everyone that signs up using your link for the lifetime of their account. So,
how much are the fees?
Fees are 1%. So yeah,
I think it's what, 25 for the person setting the deal and 0.75 for the person buying. Right?
You got it. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And then the big deal about local Bitcoin, local.bitcoin.com, is that it's a non-custodial financial service, which has been the big rage. Props to Vin Armani for sort of coming up with that term, but really I think he hit it spot on. So, you know, Bitcoin Cash is programmable smart money. So you really want to play to its strengths. And as we enter this sort of environment where there's regulation around the world, if you have custodial services, it opens up an entire can of worms around KYC and different types of regulations. So being able to leverage the strengths that Bitcoin Cash offers uniquely with things like UpCheck, DataSig Verify, and multiple outputs, we're able to have non-custodial financial services. And my intuition, and I'm basing this a lot on Vin sold me pretty hard, is that the next big wave of startups in our space, the next big opportunity for people in our space is in this non-custodial financial services. Mm-hmm. It's just a huge opportunity to revolutionize finance and to enter the space as a startup. So to me, the sort of best one in the space right now is really local.bitcoin.com. Cointext does a great job as well, so credit to Cointext. But I think local.bitcoin.com is going to be huge. I mean, it solves the problem and it solves it in the right way. So,
speaking on that non-custodial services aspect, there was one example that really struck me as kind of interesting that Vin talked about, and it was like, what happens when the employee is being paid in cryptocurrency and simply, let's say the employee is a waitress and the waitress is serving the food for the restaurant and the user pays, or the person visiting the restaurant is paying in Bitcoin Cash. And if they pay this address and there's a separate output that just takes a small percentage of that to pay the waitress, then that waitress technically isn't employed by the company. They're an independent contractor. And this kind of turns the whole financial system, and it turns this whole employer-employee relationship a little bit on its head, where it opens up a lot of opportunities, but it also opens up a lot of kind of questions. And it's without a doubt, in a very exciting time for some of this Bitcoin Cash development, I think.
And I don't know Michael's name. The developer, what's Michael's last name?
Michael Foster.
Yeah, so he's behind Local Ethereum, right? That was his initial project, and he's now working on Local Bitcoin. And, you know, I don't know the full tech stack. I know it uses like the Whisper protocol. I'm sure he could do a much better description, but you know, the technology is very, very solid. And I've communicated with Michael a bunch over Telegram because he's using rest.bitcoin.com. And he is absolutely a very, very sharp guy. So
incredibly
credit to
sharp.
You, Michael, if you happen to see this. I'm really glad to have you on the team. This is a big, big project.
Yeah. And it, for those of you interested in the escrow script that basically allows this whole platform to exist, the blind escrow, you can visit local.bitcoin.com/FAQ.
Right.
He's got the detailed scripting there. And actually, I think that really ties into, I think, this,
yeah, sure.
this particular cache script, because I think maybe we should jump to that one next.
Sure.
And
let's do it.
Maybe I'll let you take over this, because this stuff's above my operating capacity.
Sure. So, like, you know, one of the great things about Bitcoin Cash is that it's programmable smart money. And, you know, we have these sort of pre-canned transaction types, pay to pub key hash, pay to multi-sig, that kind of thing. But we have this ability to sort of create arbitrary scripts called pay to script hash. That's sort of our version of smart contracts or script contracts. We're still developing the right terminology because, of course, we don't want to step on the toes of other communities. At the same time, we want to be able to look to outside communities and learn from what they've done right, mm-hmm. but not sacrifice everything that makes Bitcoin Cash what it is. So it would be a mistake if we were to try and become the next Ethereum, because Ethereum is already amazing and it does what it does very well. What we want to do is be the best Bitcoin Cash we could ever be, and that's programmable smart money. And so script is our sort of scripting language, which allows you to create these different arbitrary locking and unlocking scripts. And anybody who's ever tried to write it finds that it's very sort of, it's convoluted and it's awkward, and it's not how a modern programmer thinks. It's one of the sort of technical cues that have made many people think that Satoshi was an old school programmer, just because stack feels like an old school language. Script feels like an old school stack-based language from the 60s and mm-hmm. 70s. And, you know, people don't usually write in that way, so how did Satoshi think that way? He's probably an old school programmer. He or she or they are probably old school programmers. But the point being, all the way back to the beginning of the BitBox journey, there's been this need for a higher level scripting language to write scripts. Several times I myself have tried to mock up some of the more famous scripts that have emerged, like Omni's forfeit script and one that Emil wrote about check data sig verify, and I was just unable to make it happen because it's just incredibly awkward to write. So we've had this idea of creating a higher level scripting language for a while, but it was sort of beyond my programming skills because I've never done compilers and grammars and lexers. So whenever we met Roscoe, who's a very talented Ethereum developer, he maintains Truffle Assertions, and he's getting a master's degree in computer science from Amsterdam University. Correct university name?
Yep.
That was the project we proposed, and boy, did he take it to 10x, 100x, whatever I ever imagined. So, Roscoe.
Awesome, yeah. So, the project kind of started off by looking at Spadden, which is a language created by Tendo Payne with in Haskell, which is, I remember when I met Gabriel in November and October, I was already really excited about this pattern coming up, and I think it wasn't yet released. Mm-hmm. And so in the months after, Gabriel and I, we called a few times, and we were kind of talking about how Spadden, it was really nice that we had that, but it was very difficult to integrate still in like our workflow. So, I mean, even when you have the high-level language, you still need to be able to use it really inside your applications.
And right.
A lot of the applications, at least that Gabriel and that I are writing, are web-based applications. So they're like JavaScript and TypeScript, things like that. So what we really want to do is make sure that we can actually integrate those scripts into our own applications. And for that, we kind of looked at the workflow that Ethereum has. So Ethereum has these great JavaScript libraries such as Web3.js and mm-hmm. Truffle as well. Mm-hmm. And when I was developing for Ethereum, I really liked their workflow. You know, it's just it feels like regular programming, but it's on Ethereum. So that's kind of what we aim for, and I think we did a pretty decent job of that.
Yes, yeah. So we borrowed, like, I say we, I give credit to Roscoe. He really does deserve the credit for taking this and absolutely running with it. But, you know, so for example, I mean, Solidity, there is a contract kind of keyword or class, if you will. And so Roscoe created the same thing. So now we have like a .cache file extension, which I just think is amazing.
I think that's the coolest.
Yeah.
Coolest file name
to me,
ever.
Cache is one of the coolest brands ever. You know, anybody across the world understands Cache. It's definitely something that's multicultural. Yeah. And so to me, that's actually a strength of Bitcoin Cache, mm-hmm. The fact that that's our brand. So now...
Hey!
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Let's see how long it goes.
So for those of you joining us on YouTube, we, of course, stream live 5 p.m. here in Tokyo, and we regularly have people make it rain.
They're gonna
from the live stream on Twitch.
They're making it.
And
so far, it's holding up.
You so can, far, they're making it drain.
We've upgraded from a cup to a plate, and
it's needed.
Yeah.
It's gonna be on the floor in 5, 4, 3.
And our mystery hand here is getting a little hungry.
Wow, thank you, whoever just donated like $5 to this thing. I don't know if you guys can hear over it or not.
Makoto, we have more than $5.
Yeah, I think they're making it rain. This is a good one.
Yeah, they're gonna drain it.
They're gonna empty it.
We're feeding the office.
Thank you, guys.
Here we go.
This is all. I think this is all the Roscoe. This is maybe just a sign that they really appreciate the hard work that you're
thank
doing.
Thank you.
They're trying to fatten you up so you never leave.
So, back to what I think I was talking about, Solidity's contract class. So, yeah, the great thing about, so there was a news report that went out by the amazing Jamie Redmond yesterday or the night before, where he said on news.bitcoin.com, where he said Ethereum-like smart contracts are coming to Bitcoin Cash. And some people didn't like that title, and some people understood. And in a sense, it's accurate, because we really did set out with the intention of bridging the gap between Ethereum and Bitcoin Cash for talented developers and other ecosystems as well. But obviously, we borrowed heavily from the Ethereum workflow. And really, Ethereum and Bitcoin really complement each other. If you allow both of them to play to their strengths, Bitcoin is programmable smart money, and then Ethereum is like this distributed virtual machine. And if you let them both play to their strengths, they really do complement each other. So it makes sense to be able to on-ramp developers from that ecosystem. One of the main things I do now is biz dev stuff, and I on-ramp a ton of Ethereum developers, and they always ask, how do you do tokens on BCH? How do you do smart contracts on BCH? So we've needed these answers for a while. It's something the market has been wanting us to provide a solution for. And so, when we got SLP and the Tocambrian explosion and Badger and this whole thing, we got the token thing handled, but then we really needed a higher level API. And just so whenever we say it's Ethereum-like, obviously script does not have loops, it does not have recursion, it's not Turing complete in the traditional sense, Ethereum is. So in that sense, it's not Ethereum-like, and I think that's what people sort of took offense to at that headline, but it's very much Ethereum-like in the sense that it borrows very heavily from Solidity syntax, and it has ABI, and so to me, that's what the Ethereum-like meant. And not that we're telling people you can have recursion and loops like you can in Ethereum, but more that the workflow is very similar. If you've written smart contracts,
it's lowering the barrier of entry to being able to do some high-level things that weren't possible, or that prevented people. There was a bit of some technical difficulties in order for
an
Ethereum dev to just hop over to Bitcoin Cash and say, I'm going to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, the perfect example is, so Amini, who is an amazing developer, I met that person in, Emil and myself were in Milan in November, and Amini gave a presentation. So, right now Bitcoin Cash does zero conf very well. If you're a merchant and you want to sell a cup of coffee, you can get paid in Bitcoin Cash like this, right? Somebody sends 40 cents to this, we instantly dump out the candy. Why? Because it's not worth that person's time and effort to try and double spend that 40 cents, right? So there's a whole class of payments you can do with zero conf where you can feel relatively safe. And it's a sliding scale as a merchant. How much risk are you willing to expose yourself to? Would you expose yourself to 1,000, 100,000, a million? It's different for every person. Like if Corbin were paying me $1 million in BCH, I would accept it in zero conf because I trust Corbin very much as a friend. But would I do that from a stranger? Probably not. I know where he's at every day. But, so basically, Amini had this great idea where using OpCheck Data Sig Verify, you could create a smart contract or a script contract called forfeit, where basically the way it works is, even though we're very good with zero conf, today it would be in principle possible for a person to double spend if they were working with a miner. There's solutions in place like Avalanche, which I think is going to be a game changer. It will allow you to have pre-consensus, like 99.99999% confidence that your transaction will make it into the next block in a second and a half, but that won't be live probably for a year or more if we get it. But Amini came up with this idea of this forfeit script. So basically, if the person tries to be a scammer and double spend, they lose their money. So it removes the financial incentive for people to scam. So merchants who want to accept zero conf for larger payments could do this and feel confident. Well, Amini contacted me after we met in Milan and said, hey, can you mock this up in BitBox? And I was just unable to make it happen because it was just too convoluted in writing it by script. Roscoe mocked it up, I don't want to overshoot it, but probably in 10 or 15 minutes. It was relatively quick. And so we've done several. So, or again, I give credit to Roscoe. So there's a pay to pub key hash contract. Mm-hmm. There's a pay to multi-sig. There's a hash time lock contract, which would be able to be used for cross-chain atomic swaps. There is, I saw him today working on the
expiring tip as well.
Yeah, and then what was the one about the will, last will and testament or something like
that? You're mocking that one up. Last will.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch I'd like to see mucked up. Mm-hmm. Chainbet protocol is very awesome. Yeah. ML has one called a check, taking up check data sig or something for a spin. That one would be worth mucking up. There is this last will and testament, which is like this covenant, which I don't quite have my mind wrapped around, but from what I understand, that is at least a potential gateway into having sort of a Turing complete kind of API on top of Bitcoin. We'll see how that plays out, of course. Somebody mocked up and sped in like an on-chain chess game, which, you know,
I saw that.
Yeah, all of these could be in theory mocked up in Cash Grip. And so, yeah, to me, this just is
local.bitcoin.com.
Local.bitcoin.com. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, CashScript is an absolute game changer. To me, it's really the API that we've been waiting on. And so the next step is just this week, and we'll talk about it in a second. The amazing James Kramer from SLP added PayToScript hash to SLP.js. Wow. So now, once CashScript and SLP.js's PayToScript hash converge, I think we'll have a token ecosystem with smart contracts or script contracts and Bitcoin Cash, and that is going to be incredibly valuable. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm kind of curious, Roscoe, what brought you from the Ethereum world over to the Bitcoin Cash space?
So, I guess it kind of started when the Bitcoin Cash hackathon was coming to Amsterdam, which is where I live, or used to live at least, until 2 months ago. And back then I just thought I'll check it out. I mean, I was doing a lot of stuff with Ethereum back then, and I had my own libraries and stuff, and was just developing smart contracts. And I thought, well, I know so little about other projects, so I'll just check this thing out. And then we ended up winning by actually taking concepts from the Ethereum space into the Bitcoin Cash space. So we created Panda Cash, which is kind of like Ganache for Bitcoin Cash, if you know Ganache from Ethereum. And so thank you guys.
Thank you.
And
I can see some people behind the camera getting hungry again. They're thinking maybe I'll come for some more. Another $20. Looks like the last one was a $20 donation. We got another 20. We might empty this thing by the end of it.
Make it rain. That's awesome.
Sorry, keep going.
So, no, just keep going.
The hackathon.
So, yeah, you were mentioning Ganache.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's kind of when I realized that there's a lot of potential as well in the Bitcoin Cash community to actually take over some of the good parts of Ethereum, some of the nice workflow elements. And and I knew my master's thesis was coming up, and I thought, well, this is a great time for me to sort of get involved with that. So I contacted Gabriel, and now he said, yeah, let's do it.
I remember shortly after the San Francisco hackathon, we were catching up, and you said, I met one of the most brilliant people in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And he was just losing his mind over Panda, and he was thinking, like, this is a huge opportunity.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, when I started the Bitbox journey, so before I was doing Bitbox, I was trying to start a 3D printer startup called Clone. And I had a 3D printer, and I wanted to connect it to the Internet of Things. And the idea was I would create an Ethereum smart contract, and you would send it a transaction, it would print. So that's what I was working on, and I started learning about Truffle. And Truffle was just so good. I've been a software engineer for 10 years. Multiple times in my career, I've worked with a suite of developer tools, which have taken me from 0 to 100. And so I know that if you have the right suite of tools, that's how you go from idea to application 10 times faster than the competition. And so when I saw Truffle, I was stunned. I was like, this is so good. Somebody should create this for Bitcoin Cash. And one of my mentors in the city, Pete Flint, the founder of Trulia, suggested, like, hardware is hard. You should focus on the blockchain. And that was the inspiration I was looking for. So I put down my 3D printer company and I started building Bitbox, heavily, heavily inspired by Truffle. So when I met Roscoe in Amsterdam and everybody was kind of finding their partners and filling it all out, him and Adrian Barwicki from the Honest team were like, we want to create Truffle for Bitcoin Cash. So immediately I was like, yeah, I know where these guys are coming from. So I was like, check out what I've done. And then they built Panda Cash, which ended up being absolutely amazing. It was sort of like the missing part, like Ganesh to Truffle, like you mentioned. So yeah, that's how basically we met. And it was resonating on Truffle, which is an amazing tool suite. And what we tried to reproduce with Bitbox and CashScript and everything we're building here, we tried to reproduce that same workflow for Bitcoin Cash developers.
Well, I think that's what's really exciting about those hackathons is that it really does bridge these people from different communities, different cultures, different parts of the world, and kind of says, hey, maybe we can make something cool together.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Epperly from Bitmain. Thank you so much for all that. Epperly and Nishant.
So we should get back onto the script here, since we've been kind of talking about all this stuff. Let's talk about some of the news that's going on in Bitcoin Cash, some of the new stuff that's been launched, and some of the latest stuff going on. So maybe I'll let you take over this one here.
Sure. So Bitcoin Cash Register is now available on iOS. The free point-of-sale application is now available from Apple's App Store, allowing Bitcoin Cash payments at any retail location. Merchants can choose from over 150 fiat currencies, and cash out customers wanting to pay in BCH in a non-custodial manner without any registration. Introduce the app to your favorite local merchants to start paying them with Bitcoin Cash. And it's worth mentioning, it was already live on Android. Now it's live on iOS. Mm-hmm. It's open source, I believe. It is, right?
Yeah, it's I believe they're both open source. One's maintained by Xavier, and I think the other is maintained by JB and his team.
Yeah, we have like a really rock star mobile team here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have a great wallet, but the stuff they're building, our wallet right now is built on older technology. The stuff they're building right now, this is the perfect example, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the big play here. As the scale and the velocity of the money move, the value will increase, and it's more about network effect. So I was saying this earlier, you know, the network effect is like gravity. Everybody's online because everybody's online, and the value of the network grows proportionally to the number of nodes on the network. So every time another person comes online, not only is their life enriched by being online, but every other person's life is ever so slightly more enriched because this person plugged into the network. And the same thing is true with these crypto networks.
Yeah.
You know, Bitcoin Cash becomes more valuable, not just from a dollar perspective, but from a utility perspective, the more places you can spend it. And one of the great things about being in Tokyo is that you genuinely can spend Bitcoin Cash thanks to amazing people like Akane and other people. So, you know, this is, and, you know, the work that CryptoStats is doing in Australia, you know, in North Queensland, that's what we want to see everywhere. So we have this application. It's open source. It's free. It's for iOS and Android. It's a point of sale application called Register. Take it into your merchants. Have them start accepting BCH, even if it's just for you and your friends on your lunch break. CryptoStrats, which is Hayden Otto from CoinSpice, had a tweet or an article or something where it said something like there's a merchant in Australia who said they had accepted $10,000 over the past 6 months or something. You know, accepting BCH is the best decision I've ever made. So, you know, mom and pop merchants, brick and mortars, are always looking for more streams of revenue. And I'm known from on-ramping a couple of different restaurants here in Tokyo. You know, these people want to be hip. They want to be on the next big thing. A lot of people know about cryptos. Mm-hmm. So it's just a big opportunity to turn on local merchants. And this is the app you want to use.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of merchants of course already like use iPads for their sure. stuff. So I mean, having this on iOS is just it's really good.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Easy onboarding, and of course localized to 150 different languages is I believe the game plan here to support as many different languages as there are currencies and ensure that it's available for anyone to start using. So I believe we'll be pushing out some ongoing updates to both of those applications for iOS and Android.
Sure.
But we should talk about this project. This officially got live last night at midnight.
Nice
we were
job.
Pulling a late one here, trying to figure it all out and get it all sorted. BCH Developer Community Funding Campaign. So Bitcoin.com, along with the broader Bitcoin Cash community, have been working to raise awareness and funding for Bitcoin Cash developers. So the initial goal was to raise 800 BCH by August 1st, 2019.
Nice.
All contributions will be donated to a varying amount of different projects within the Bitcoin Cash ecosystem, primarily focusing on protocol development, including Bitcoin ABC, BCHD, Bcash, BU, and Cash Shuffle, any potential thing that's going to grow the ecosystem and allow Bitcoin Cash to scale for global peer-to-peer cash, I think is the goal here, is just to help ensure that there's enough coffers to keep development going and to ensure that the roadmap has the potential to be complete as soon as possible.
So Omri, who is Omri Sachet, the lead developer of Bitcoin ABC and one of the creators of Bitcoin Cash, did a great interview the other day with Hayden from CoinSpice and Corentin Mercier from CoinSpice, and I used to know him from Bitmain and BitcoinCash.org and a bunch of other things. They did a great interview the other day, and you know, Omri did a great job of sort of articulating, like, number one, these are protocol developers, they're not business people, and there's not a business model baked into Bitcoin ABC. Sure, they could try and go the route of like a Blockstream or something and take funding, but you know, it's obvious how the community has felt about that. So unless it played out different, and people would probably push back, and there's just a lot of technical debt, and you know, engineers know that and project managers know that. There's just always this pressure to move forward as fast as you know you can, because there's so much value in being at the bleeding edge in these ecosystems. But then there's also technical debt, and you, in order to sometimes move fast, you'll cut corners or you'll leave a to-do comment in your code and say, "We'll circle back to this," the technical debt kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Omri was articulating like, there's technical debt, and if we want to push this to the next level, we need some type of funding. At least that's how I interpreted the conversation. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I think that's sort of the heart of what's happening here. Yeah.
So this is definitely a good start. I think 800 BCH will definitely keep it, some people fed. It'll keep enough people continuing to develop. The goal, of course, is to build this ecosystem so that businesses that are building on top of Bitcoin Cash are also seeing the benefit and contributing back towards the protocol development layer. This is the same methodology that everything from, I believe, server farms were paying back towards the Linux developers, and mm-hmm. anyone that was building on Unix was typically saying, "Hey, we know we got to fund some of these guys that are actually doing the hard work and keep these guys fed, since they're the ones maintaining all this stuff that we're profiting off of."
Sure.
So at the end of the day, I think it's a really exciting campaign. This is going to be live on, it's already live on Bitcoin.com. You can see it on the homepage, or you can visit Bitcoin.com/fundraise. Mm-hmm. We've got it live on BitcoinCash.org. I believe it's live on Electron Cash's website. It's going to be live on Bitcoin ABC's website here shortly. And I think a whole bunch of the Bitcoin Cash community, all of their websites, are trying to get this little donation widget to help fulfill this 800 BCH goal as fast as possible. Ensure that we can continue this ongoing growth within the community. And
if I checked it out right before I came up here. I was downstairs, and I believe there are QR codes for ABC, Unlimited, BCHD, and Bcash. Maybe I forgot mm-hmm. one. And then you can donate with Badger. The Badger mm-hmm. button is on there, so thank you so much. So everybody get out there and let's support
you guys. Do anything here, M&Ms. Go visit BitcoinCash.org or visit Bitcoin.com and go do a quick little donation. You can see a little instant pop-up. And you guys will go have some fun with that as well, I'm sure.
Awesome.
Maybe we'll go to the next one here. Electron Cash, we got some SLP version upgrades. So various updates to the platform, including the ability for users to send custom BCH amounts and SLP tokens simultaneously. I actually had no idea. This is news to me. This is great. So tokens can be created and managed on the BCH blockchain within seconds using the version of Electron Cash. This is something I was talking to James Kramer about, and I think John Fuchball a while ago. Mm-hmm. Like, how is this going to work with being able to, if I want to pay someone money but also give them some tokens?
Sure.
You know, how's that UI going to mm-hmm. going to feel? So if you're, let's say you're an airline company and I want to, you know, buy a ticket, but I've also got a bunch of your loyalty points which happen to be SLP tokens, mm-hmm. and I want to use some of those in order to also pay for, you know, my ticket alongside with some actual BCH. How does that experience look? Is it two transactions? Is it one transaction?
Sure.
So I'm glad to see that they've been thinking about, you know, how this is all going to, you know, function.
Yeah, and I think the big one from my perspective, because of course we work very closely with James, is I'm just so stoked about getting paid a script hash in SLPJS. That's something that we've been needing, because, you know, we do consulting for companies, and they ask for more advanced script functionality than we've been able to provide them for their tokens right now, and now we will be able to. So we're starting to prototype that. And then, as it mentions here, you can now send BCH and SLP in a single transaction. And then there's some other great work that I was reminded when Roscoe was demoing Cash Script downstairs to me. He was showing me the grammar file about how he basically described the language, you know, and it's very similar to what James Kramer just did recently. So there is a spec, I believe it's BIP21, I could be getting that wrong, but there's like a URL specification. We support it in BitBox. You can encode and decode URLs for Bitcoin Cash transactions. And James basically extended it with the ability to support SLP as well. And I've been meaning to mock that up in BitBox or SLP SDK. I've not had a chance, but it's live in SLPJS, which is, you know, SLP SDK is basically a superset of BitBox with SLPJS plugged in. So right. A lot of the token functionality is James's work under the hood. I just kind of need to expose that. But shout out to James Kramer. He's such a high quality engineer. Yeah.
Yeah, huge shout out. So let's move on to this one here. Casual Wallet, which was
another
just released on
engineer.
Android. Yeah, this is Jonathan Silverblood.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Silverblood releases his BCH payment wallet with cloud backup utilizing Android's built-in application backup feature. Mm-hmm. So if you need to replace your device to reinstall later, it should automatically load the backup from the cloud and restore, which is what Jonathan Silverblood said. I'm curious, what are your guys' thoughts on this? Like, is there any security concerns? Like, my gut reaction is, are my keys on Google server somewhere for someone to rob me blind?
Yeah, I suspect he's done it. And I suspect it's encrypted locally or something like that. I don't know how it works, but the great thing I love about Jonathan is that he has approached the problem of simplifying cryptocurrencies for regular people. So he's released Cash ID, which was the first spec I knew of, and that is basically being able to authenticate with websites by signing a message. So, you know, everybody always says, you know, Satoshi could prove he's Satoshi by signing a message. Well, this is kind of taking that to the next level, saying, you instead of me giving a username and a password to every individual site and trusting them to keep the password properly encrypted or not hackable, we can flip that entire model. And right. since you're cruising around the web and you have your identity and your keys in your little Badger wallet, you should just be able to click a button and sign a message and authenticate. And that's what Cash ID does. And it's pretty awesome. We support it in Badger. I know Lazy Fox, I think is probably the best example of where you can create an account.
Lazyfox.io, kind of a little micro job site where you can go and put out a little bounty task, and those who sign up, they can earn some BCH. Great place to go earn some BCH if you're a writer or a developer or a designer or anything.
Did they use the local.bitcoin.com script already?
And then Jonathan created Cash accounts. So the idea here is, you know, a cash address is, you know, confusing to some people, and wouldn't it be great if we could abstract that away? So I've mentioned this before, and I like to give credit where it's due. One of the great things that the Handcash team solved was the I forget what their username, what it was called
handle.
Now. Handles,
cash handle.
And basically, you know, an email address everybody understands, gabriel@bitcoin.com. So what if we could have a dollar sign instead of an at sign, and that could sort of be your handle, and we could abstract away the address. And that was a great idea, but they did it, they're a company, so they did it sort of in a third-party custodial kind of way. They don't control your keys, but they control your username. And in theory, if they wanted to change it, they have not done that, and I'm not saying they would, but if they wanted to. So Jonathan approached that same problem, but did a very clever on-protocol solution to where, you know, you can create a username minus CG Cardona, then it gives you a number based on the block you got in, and then there's even, you get your checksum as an emoji. And then there's even a little bit of a collision hash at the end in case there's two CG Cardonas in the same block. And as a matter of fact, I have Jonathan's on here. JONATHAN number 100. Go give this dude some donations.
His I'm also work. In the 100 block.
Oh, you made it in?
Yeah, I stayed up till about 2 or 3 good. In the morning and got that 100 block. Hammering away.
And so the new thing he's working on, and I've only seen mock-ups of it, I don't know where he's at technically, is called Cash Intents. So in the same way that a cash account abstracts away a cash address and it gives you a human readable username with a nice little cute emoji checksum, cash intents basically abstract away the whole like Block Explorer experience. So, you know, as we scale out to mainstream, Block Explorers can be confusing to people. If you don't know the ins and outs of Bitcoin, what's an input, what's an output, why am I seeing how big the transaction is in bytes, what am I paying in Satoshis? Let's abstract that all away and make it look like a receipt, something that people are very used to. We've all grown up with them. People can easily consume what's on them very quickly visually. And that, to me, is what Cash Intents is. And I don't know where he's at technically. I've seen mock-ups. But anyway, go support Jonathan. He's amazing.
I think what he's really doing, like you said, is just trying to make everything a little bit more user-friendly for people coming into the space and more user-friendly for people that will be using this on a day-to-day basis. That's very much needed in this space, since I think we often are creating products, and it's often developer-created products, which often look like developer-created products and function like developer-created products, which might work for, you know, a subset of a subset of the world, but for general users, they expect a certain level of quality and a certain level of intuitiveness.
Yeah, I mean, the great lesson of Steve Jobs is that technology is the story of the human experience, and that really, that's where the value lies. That's why this iPad, that's why Apple has more money than the U.S. government. Number one, because the U.S. government is made up of politicians, but that aside, it's because they took all of the complexity that exists in a modern Turing-complete computer, and trust me, it's turtles all the way down, and abstracted it away to where even small children understand swipes and taps, and there's incredible value in the human experience side of technology.
So speaking of the human experience side of stuff, there's still a need, in my opinion, to have this connection between the traditional fiat world and the crypto world. And what we're seeing is more card companies that have this ability to load your prepaid credit card up with cryptocurrency. Recently, it's been really difficult to find one that supports Bitcoin Cash. There's ePayments, which I personally use. I'm a huge fan of. But just lately, I believe in the last week, Crypto.com added Bitcoin Cash wallet and card support. So this is very huge. So if you're a Bitcoin Cash user and you do plan on using your crypto and you plan on selling it every once in a while and loading up a card to go, you know, buy some stuff that you can't purchase online or you can't purchase in person with Bitcoin Cash, you can now have this slightly easier on and off ramp. There usually is some fees involved, but mm-hmm. it is a simple way to do that if you plan on being a hardcore user in the crypto sense. And you know, if you're mm-hmm. if you're regularly buying on a monthly basis and you're regularly selling on a monthly basis, rather than having to wait those, you know, potentially 16 blocks on exchanges mm-hmm. plus the wire transfer delays for mm-hmm. bank transfers, which can sometimes take days.
Sure.
Being able to just load up within an app, yeah. sell some crypto, drop it onto your prepaid card, mm-hmm. head down the street, buy some diapers, buy some dog food, buy some whatever you kind of need for your household, and call it a day.
Is it a traditional card, like works with traditional POSs?
Yeah, yeah. Got it. Basically any POS, any ATM, you can withdraw money from sure. it. You can go, you know, pay for McDonald's with yeah. it. You can yeah. do pretty well anything. So
and that is yeah. a great solution. Like, you know, amazing people on our team are working on amazing projects to help make point of sales more modern. But right now we still live in the world we live yeah. in now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the point of sales that are all around the world are huge investments. Imagine if you're a big company and you invest in a point of sale. It's physical hardware, it's integration with cloud service providers, it's training and manuals for your people, it's being able to do chargebacks. There's so much involved in a point of sale. And so to be able to kind of retrofit those to fit our economy is very valuable, I would say.
Yeah, very exciting. So go check that out, crypto.com. Make sure you go spend some Bitcoin Cash. Let them know that you're in support of their yeah. their cause. I'm sure that they're already seeing some flack online for it on Twitter. But it's very exciting. I think we'll be building, maybe we should mention this, because I think Roger would like us to mention this. You know, way back, there was a tweet that Roger had sent out that had a Bitcoin.com card on it. It was a prepaid credit card mm-hmm. with the Bitcoin.com logo. We were hoping to have that out. This was everyone got really excited about this one. We're even getting extra tips because people were like, yeah, where is that? Yeah. So we had some issues. We had a deal lined up with a certain company, and this was around the time that Wavecrest and several other companies were having issues with Visa and MasterCard, where they were just pulling out of anything crypto-related. Mm-hmm. We unfortunately also got hit with that, but we're also in discussion with several new companies, which we feel very strongly will be able to still accomplish that goal someday. Someday. So it's a work in progress. We're very much looking to see if this is something we can do mm-hmm. and do correctly. So we're very excited to kind of continue building, and hopefully we can make that that old tweet a reality here shortly.
Yes.
Right.
So we've got some comments. We've got some comments, I'm sure, from Twitch live stream. Feel free to leave us your question here on live stream. We stream every Friday, 5 p.m. Tokyo Japanese Standard Time, JST. Mm-hmm. And you can hop on twitch.com/bitcoin.com, D-O-T. Mm-hmm. Don't mess that up like I did. And and yeah, of course, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. The viewers here just drained our crypto candy machine, so thank you so much for feeding our entire office. They'll all be happy and cheering for you guys downstairs once we head back down. So we've got some YouTube comments.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll let you start reading some of those.
Sure. So the first one comes from Brent Nally, and it says, BCH for the win.
6 likes. So whew, this guy's
yeah, you know,
it.
Like a big part of the chapter of this part of Bitcoin.com's life is BizDev. You know, we have an absolute champion head of BizDev named Stefan Rust from Hong Kong, and we have just got so many opportunities. We're working with so many businesses, and, you know, I was talking about this the other day on Twitter. I've been saying since the BTC-BCH fork that the biggest challenge we face is not technical. It's obvious that Bitcoin Cash's technology is very compelling if you're an engineer. The problem we've been facing is branding, because thanks to people like Roger and Jihan and other people who dedicated so much of their life and energy, Bitcoin is was one of the best brands ever. But in my opinion, due to years of inactivity and inability to push the technology forward, to me, the brand feels sullied. And, you know, maybe not to the mom and pop investors who are just finding out about the next bull market, but to anybody who lives and breathes this every day, crypto every day, BTC feels like the dinosaur, because there's so much innovation happening on so many other chains. And it's kind of just like, you know, Roscoe and I the other day were discussing, like, why is Tether still a thing? DAI exists. You know, there are better, or, you know, Circle stablecoin or Gemini stablecoin, there are better algorithmically derived stablecoins which have transparency. Why in the world is Tether still a thing? And it's similar to BTC, and I'm not going to hate on BTC, but it's more simply that from where I sit on-ramping developers and businesses every day, it's clear to me that the brand issue is inversing, and that Bitcoin Cash is becoming more cool, basically. As a brand, it is becoming much more cool, and I sense that every day as I on-ramp people. So when he says BCH for the win, I feel that from where I'm sitting, for sure.
So next up, we've got CryptoCloud. If a business wanted to accept Bitcoin Cash without BitPay, how would they be able to provide a receipt to the customer? Obviously, the transaction would be recorded on the blockchain, but that's not the same as a traditional receipt.
Yeah. So, you know, I suspect that this will end up being part of point-of-sale systems. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think that's the problem which needs to be solved. It's simply that there needs to be a point-of-sale physical machine which is BIP70 aware and which is able to, you know, print out physical receipts. And, you know, way back in the day, before even Ethereum, I remember, I had the... what was it called? Piper Wallet. And it was a Raspberry Pi inside of a little black 3D printed box or, you know, machined box. And it just printed out these little tiny, basically public and private key QR codes. And it was like a poor man's hardware wallet or paper wallet. And I loved that thing. I printed out a ton of them and gave them to a ton of family members who were able to dig them out of their sock drawers last two Decembers ago and cash them in. It ended up being a good move.
That's great.
And so I suspect it'll be something similar, right? We already have point of sales that can print receipts. We already have point of sales which can do BIP70. We need to sort of converge those. And we didn't make the announcement this week because we're still working with the back-end integrations, but Badger, we just put out a new version of Badger, and it supports BIP70 now. And so we'll be talking about that more.
I should also mention that there is a blonde Viking that we know that has been working very hard to solve this exact solution, exact problem. And it is going to be very exciting, but we will never talk about who this Viking is, and we are not going to hint about it at all. Yes. But yes, you're right, this does need to be solved, and some very smart people are working on solving exactly that.
Yep. All right, last one.
So much new adoption that it's hard to keep track of everything going on.
It is true, and that's going to accelerate. So, you know, that's sort of the story of our lifetime. And I always harp on this, but it's true. We'll experience 20,000 years of paradigm shifts in our century if you measure the pace of change from the previous century. So if you were born in 1900 and you died in 2000, you saw, you know, the end of the Industrial Revolution into electricity and cars and then into World War I and World War II, all the way into space travel and the internet and mobile, and then boom, you get the year 2000. Well, if that's the pace of change, we will experience 20,000 years of paradigm shifts in our generation because the pace of change is accelerating. And so, yeah, there's a lot going on. And the more successful Bitcoin Cash becomes, the more will be going on because there will be more smart people and more money and more mom and pops and more businesses and brick and mortars. And all of these people will bring their own thing into our tribe, and it's going to get bigger and faster. So expect more of the same.
Very exciting stuff. Yeah. We've got a couple questions from the Twitch live streamers. Feel free to leave some questions as we read these. Our very favorite, The Sharona, who often joins us every Friday. Thank you, The Sharona, for being such a loyal viewer. The Sharona asks, is there a way or a script that can be written to make the candy jar know that the candy is finished?
There probably is. If we could figure out exactly how much in weight it is and how much weight goes out with each transaction, we could probably write a script that says, you know.
I think we need to maybe send that question to Spencer Lambert.
Yeah.
We should put a weight counter inside.
Yes. I think this is a fun engineering problem. Maybe something for the weekend. we'll see if the Iozetta guys, maybe their next version will have a sensor or something to detect that. As you guys can see, yes, we have drained the account, the candy account.
Yeah. You have drained the account.
Yes.
Nice work.
We've got questions here. There's a Bitcoin that I totally didn't. Oh, okay. It looks like some people were confused as well with our Twitch live stream domain. So, of course, visit us, twitch.com/bitcoindot.com. And, of course, subscribe to us there. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you hit the little like button and the little notification thing.
Yep.
I'm hoping to bring some more special guests on here shortly. I'm sure Roger's getting excited to hop back on the show. He's probably got a ton of updates from his
recent travels. I think we just crossed 25,000 subscribers. Is that right?
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Thank you to everybody.
That's huge. And go visit Bitcoin.com. Go learn about Bitcoin. Go visit developer.bitcoin.com if you're a dev. If you want to get involved, if you want to take out Cash Script for a spin, when's that available?
It's available now, so you can go to our GitHub, github.com/bitcoin-com/cashscripts, and there's already a couple example scripts in there you can run from the command line, and it'll transpile the smart contract down into opcodes. It'll create a transaction. It'll create a pay to script hash address. It'll post it to rest.bitcoin.com. It will return you the transaction ID. So go check that out now.
Awesome. And if they want to follow you on Twitter?
CG Cardona.
And you?
Roscoe Calles.
And Maple Syrup Sucker without an E at the end of the ER. As if that's not
rules of the tongue.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks again, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
See
you.